S. Hicks. But there's one of me, only one. And aren't you lucky? We're going to start this morning in a mode of prayer, which we've already been. And we remember the scheduled speaker that is unable to be with you today because of this COVID thing. And I, like Mr. Chuck here, I've taken my first vaccination. Boy, I was sicker than a dog the next day, but the next day felt a lot better. So hopefully that everybody has that, doesn't get any worse than that. All right. How many times did you go to school hoping that there was no test? Huh? Yeah. I tell you, I went almost every day hoping there would not be. But you're out of luck today. It finally caught up with you. There's a test, and it's right now. First thing. Huh? All right. We'll tell you where we're going to start with, give you an idea. The Bible says that when the people of God that he created, descendants of Adam and Eve and all, they had become so wicked and vile that God was sorry that he created them. But then why would he deliver them through the ark and establish them to grow again? That's the first question. Why? I'm all ears. Love? How do you spell it? All right. Because he loved them, huh? Why then? Time passes. The people, the children of Israel, are down in Egypt. They've now become slaves. They're, some of them, worshiping Egyptian gods, brass, gold, whatever. But some are longing for Jehovah. And they're praying and crying out, and they're in misery and pain and sorrow. And why then? Because of these obstinate people, would God tell Moses from a bush he wanted him to deliver his people? Why would he do that? Love? That's the same thing you told me last time. Because that's the way God is, right? God is love. There's more. Those same people, God had to give them some rules to live by. We call them the Ten Commandments. Moses came down the mountain with them, and there was a, well, I'm not going to say what it was going on, but it was very displeasing to God. And so then for 40 years, God directed and provided for these people through a wilderness. Why? Huh? You know what he could have done? He could have went, and they'd all been gone. He could have zapped them all. But he did. He loved them, didn't he? And so he took them through. And they knew that there would be that chosen through few that would ultimately come to cross the Jordan into the promised land. Why a promised land? A land filled with milk and honey. And why not leave them in the desert, those ungrateful people? Huh? Because he loved them. Yeah. So we've already started a service with capital L, O-V-E, everywhere through our worship music and prayers and all that's going on. What a song that amazing love is. That's the first time I'd heard that. I used to tell our people, I'm not surprised that, I'm just surprised as why God loves us. Why would he love me? I'm a backslider, I'm, a lazy. Why would he love a person, body like me? Well, I don't know. That's a mystery, I think. We've got to get to this inside of this message sometime. And so we come to John, the book of John, chapter 15. And I'd like for everyone to find it on your phone or in the Bible or however you'd like to do it. John chapter 15, and going along with the passage that our sister read from other John's other writings, this one is the Jesus is the last big speech, if you will, or discourse or talk that he had with the disciples. This is part of it. And it's the parable of the vine dresser and the branches. Huh? Now you remember where we're going. He said the vine dresser, of course, is God the Father, and he takes care of the branches. And the branches without the vine dresser don't get anything produced, do they? They produce nothing. We are nothing without the vine dresser to prune us and trim us and feed us and do all the things that are necessary. So, in essence, we're still just a bunch of sticks. Huh? Because he says we're the branches. Okay. Come on down to chapter 15, verse 9. Now, every time we come to that L word, I want you to shout it out, all right? We'll read from verse 9 through 17, and I'm reading from the New King James, so if I'm a little different from yours, would you bear with us? I think it'll all work together good. I compared them before we left the house this morning. Beginning with verse 9. As the Father, shout it out. As the Father loved me, also I have abide in my. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you one another as I have you. Wow. Huh? It gets better. Greater love, greater has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you one another. Wow. Huh? And he blesses the reading of his word always. this thing called love is it's simple to say. Just a few letters. But it's hard. It's difficult. to understand. Especially the love that God has for us people, for a wayward, obstinate, degenerate people like we are. You know, we profess God one day and profane Him the next. And He forgives us again and again. Why? Because He loves us. All right. You know, some of the things in the Bible are hard for us to ingest and understand and comprehend. But if we don't get them inside of us, then they don't do us any good in our heart. There's a fella here in Bisbee, and I can talk because he's a good friend of mine. He was raised way up at the foot of the divide up close to where the tunnel is now would start. And he was raised by some uncles, and there was no women's in the house to keep him neat and clean and washed and everything. And he loved oranges, and he always had orange on his face, down his white T-shirt, in his pants, and the holes in his shoes, and whatever. His name was Earl, okay? All that orange, that vitamin C, and those nutrients that got all over him, they didn't do him any good. Only what got down into his insides fortified him and helped his immune system, helped feed him. Is that not right? Sure it is. And so only what we take into our hearts and minds and souls of the Word of God, of His principles and His precepts, is what do us good. A lot of things we know. We can recite, we can sing, we can pray, we can do all the moves, but until we have it in our heart, it don't really do us any good. Doesn't nourish us. All right. Love is a word that is of action. Requires action. It is action, isn't it? It's life. We said it already, it's easily spoken. Love is carried out. And we see in the scriptures that God and His Son Jesus Christ has carried out love time and time and time again for His people. And He's still doing it today for you and I, one at a time, and as a nation, and as His delivered people. Wow. There was a Jewish tradition years and years ago that the Messiah, whoever he came and when he came, would call down manna from heaven, a lot like that Moses had done, remember, in the wilderness? Well, they looked forward to that, looked forward to it, and it became quite a big thing. But when Jesus came, they couldn't get a handle on it when He said He was the bread of life. See? They couldn't understand. They were still looking for that outside stuff. And they didn't accept it. This causes lots of us people then and now and forever to be far away and to be a stumbling block because we can't have the faith to comprehend. My. What we miss because of that. People lose so much because they cannot receive a gift, the free gift of love, the gift of a Redeemer, of a Savior, of a heaven. If this isn't love, what is it? John, Peter, Jesus, they all vowed those words that they are life. And they are not physical life, but spirit life. Huh? Spiritual life. And they are absolutely necessary if we're going to live that abundant life, if we're going to live that life that God has designed for us eternally. Now, I was born, well, I've learned to say this right, too, 10-5-42. I told the doctor, I told the nurse, I told it. I bought a rifle yesterday, and I don't know how many times I told them, 10-5-42. That's when I was born. But I tell you one thing, I'm going to live forever. I wasn't born until October the 5th, 1942, but I'm going to live forever. Either in his heaven or out of his heaven. Praise God, because of his love, I'm going to live in his heaven with him forever. My sister passed away from this COVID stuff a week before last, 2 weeks ago, I don't know, a few weeks ago. A lot of people mentioned the fact that she's going to be with her mother and others in her family. And, you know, I stood up in church and I said, you know, folks, that's not where it is. That's not where it is. My sister's going to be in the arms of Jesus for the first 10,000 years. And I know there's no time in heaven, so she's going to be there for, yeah, in his arms, looking in his eyes, feeling his heart. She's going to be in the arms and the reach of God, God the Father. She might run into our mother, our father, our Sunday school teachers, those we love and care about. Yes, they'll meet there in heaven, but that's not the main thing about heaven. We don't go to heaven to see our family. We go to heaven to see the Father, God. That was free. Okay. Every word in the scriptures that Jesus spoke, you could boil it down to love. If you took this Bible, a Bible, your Bible, any Bible, took all the red letters, all the words in red letter, put it into one book, you could call it love, the love of God. Because that's what it's all about. All the stories, you boil it all down and get the broth, get the good stuff, it's love. One way or the other. Sometimes there's consequences with God's love, isn't there? As there is with any. But it's all love. Oh, I like it. Those passages in Revelation 22. And then he winds up with, I'm coming quickly. Huh? Why? Because he loves, wants his people to himself. Jesus himself, in his first sermon, Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me, because the Father anointed me to preach the gospel. Gospel is the good news, right? The love of Christ, the love of God. You remember that when Jesus preached this and taught this and spoke it, the crowd that was all around, they couldn't get over it. They said, is this Joseph the carpenter's son? Is that who's saying this? You know what? In the hearts of many today, that's exactly what's still being said. What's still being said and acted and rejected because we're just a man, a God man. They are stories and what this tale, call it is, we'll call them lies, that Jesus was the son of a Roman soldier or someone else or whatever, that he had a wife and hogwash, huh? Remember when Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, the Jews
the church of that day
were astonished that he spoke with power and authority, and not like they did.
Huh? And not like they did. For they were teachers of the law.
They sent a man out one time to arrest Jesus and to bring him in. He came back by himself, and they said, "Well, where is this guy?" He said, "I never in my life heard a man speak like this man. Can't bring him in." He spoke with power and authority, and even the unclean spirits came out and left. That was his testimony of being with Jesus. Huh? Now, some of you and the nauseous, everybody knows who I'm talking about, the nauseous? Jerry and Norma Nauseous, bless their hearts. We have a good thing going on. They think I'm the longest-winded preacher in the world. But I'm not. Jonathan Edwards, one of the older preachers of our day. Boy, if you want to do a good study, study some of his writings and works. He preached so long one time, but when he got done, when he finally, out of utter fatigue, collapsed and sat down, people cried because he quit. And the ones that weren't crying because he quit were crying because of other conviction.
Huh? Yeah.
What was he preaching?
The love of Christ. The love of God.
Bob Jones. Now, I know that Bob Jones is a big friend to Independent Conservative Baptist, Bob Jones University, and all. One time he preached for 2.5 hours on "Follow Me and I Will Make You Fishers of Men." Why would you follow him? Because to become fishers of men, because he loved you and you loved him. Why would he be fishers of men? Because he loved those men that he once brought to Christ. Those ones who are still in denial and rejection. It all boils down to love. Some Jewish, I don't know what you're going to call them, men. They dragged a woman to Jesus one day, dragged her by, I don't know, the hair, I guess, right into where he was and said, "This woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. What do you say that we ought to do with her?" They knew that the standard written penalty was death by stoning. "What do you say we ought to do with her?" What did Jesus do? Huh? Did he tell her? "What if the law says stoner, stoner?" Huh? No. He wrote on the dirt. Then he said, "If you have no sin, go ahead and throw the stone." And he waited. And he waited. Boy, don't you know that was a long, quiet spell? Finally, looked at her. Maybe he lifted her face. I don't know. "Where are your accusers? Where are those that put the stone that brought you here?" "They're not here." He says, "Neither do I accuse you. Neither do I condemn you." Why? Because he loved her. Huh? Like I love Louise? Because she was a child of God. Because what she could produce as a branch. Got quiet again for a while. And then he said, "Go your way. Go back home. But do it as a changed person. Your Bible's going to say, go your way and sin no more. But that's what he said. Go away as a new creature. And that's what we have become, church. That new creature. Because God loved us. There's much talk today about supernatural power, huh? We hear it all the time. It's everywhere. Zoom. No. Boy, you know, that's hard to lick your fingers with that mask on. I can't hardly turn a page in a book with a mask on. A man came to Jesus one day and asked him to heal his servant. His servant wasn't even with him. Talk about supernatural power. He says, I know you can do it. All you have to do is say the word. And my servant will be whole again. Jesus said the word, and the young servant was healed and whole and returned instantly. May I remind you this morning of supernatural power? God, through Jesus, spoke this world that we know into being. The only thing that he touched was you and I, was man and woman, Adam and Eve. The rest of it, he stood out on the edge of space and spoke, let there be light, firmament, earth. And it was, and it was good. That, friends, is supernatural power. The real stuff. Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus. And what did he say? Now remember, before you answer, that Lazarus has been in that tomb how many days? I got it right this time. 4 days. Now, historically, in 4 days, what happens? The body begins to decompose. In those days, it would stink horribly. It was not a pleasant place to be. So, a lot of difference between 3 days and four when you were in the grave in those days. In that hot, humid. So it's decomposing. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Huh? Dwight L. Moody. You know what he said? If Jesus hadn't said Lazarus by name, every man in that cemetery would have come jumping out of there. Probably would have. But he called Lazarus out, and Lazarus came out alive and well. A new man. Well, you know, you can read about Lazarus, and if you search it out, and you'll find that he was such an on-fire, bona fide testimony for Jesus Christ that they sought to also crucify him with Christ and arrest him simultaneously. Yeah. With Jesus Christ, church, supernatural power, there is victory over COVID and death. It's David and Goliath all over again. With one word, Jesus Christ, death cannot hold me. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Once dead, walks a man living, breathing, and shouting praises to God.
Are we not the same? The Bible tells us we were once dead in sin, with no godly future, no godly hope, hopeless and helpless. But God loved us. Loved us then, loves us today, and will love us forever. One more story and we got to go. It was the days of slavery in our nation. The days that some of our people are trying to wipe off the history books. But they need to remain there forever. There was a slave, a black man. He was uncontrollable, strong, muscular. They would send him to do stuff and he wouldn't do it. Finally, the boss man, the owner, decided it wasn't anything to do with him but sell him. Took him to the slave auction and all in chains and locks this guy was a renegade. He was horrible. And even on the auction block here, he was just throwing a fit and like the legion in the cemetery, a demoniac. He was uncontrollable and they couldn't keep him. And the auction finally started and his turn came up and there was a man back there to bid on him. And another one. This fellow over here kept raising, finally purchased the man. And he didn't say a word. He walked up to the auction block and took the key from the auctioneer and unlocked the first lock. And threw that lock into the sea, the Atlantic Ocean. And there were three more or four more locks on that slave, and he threw them, every one, into the ocean. And as he walked away over his shoulder, he said, "You're a free man. Go your way." Church, if that isn't love, the oceans are dry. The sparrows can't fly. We're going to have a hymn of commitment. It's going to come up on the screen. I want you to just listen, watch it, sing along with it, pray. You may want to come to the altar here and just kneel and thank God for the love that He has for us as His people. Thank God that we're able to love Him in the way that we can and do. Thank God for the love of other people, family and friends.